Hello, and welcome to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. Mike is an author, teacher, and conference speaker, and is president of Christian Training and Development Services. Creation Matters is dedicated to the teaching of the biblical and scientific truths about God's creation. In the beginning, God created, and for by Him were all things created. And now here's your host of Creation Matters, Mike Riddle.
Welcome to Creation Matters, and again, I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and we're coming down to the final wire here. We have today's show, and we have one more show next week, but I won't be with you next week. I'll actually be on an airplane going to Denver to speak at the Colorado State Homeschool Convention. So, this week, the Bible and science. Has modern science outdated the Bible? Is the Bible only relevant to spiritual teaching? Is it historically and scientifically accurate? That's our topic today. Does modern science outdate the Bible? Or is what we see in the Bible really relevant today? That's what we want to talk about, the Bible and science. And if you have any opinions about that, give us a call at 800-955-8200. 800-955-8200. Well, let's start with what the Bible has to say about some science here. And I'd like to start with something called Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark. You know, a lot of people don't even believe much about Noah's Ark. I know a lot of churches right here in the state of Washington. Matter of fact, some churches right here in Seattle, Washington, don't believe that the flood was worldwide. That's what they're teaching in the churches. What a major mistrust of God's Word. You know, these churches today that are teaching the flood was only a local flood, and that the days of creation were not really six literal days, but long ages. Those are the churches, those are the leaders that are actually bowing down to another god called science. I know they're out there preaching the Word of God when it comes to Jesus Christ and the Gospels, but folks, they have incorporated a new god into the Bible and it's called science. They would rather believe secular scientists than the Word of God first. But I'm going to show you today that the Bible is accurate scientifically. Now, it's not a science book. Aren't we glad it's not a science book? Because, you know, our science books are constantly changing, but the Word of God never changes. So let's start with Noah's Ark and science. Well, the Bible teaches that Noah's Ark was 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. You know, that's 450 feet long. It's about 450 feet long. That's 1.5 football fields, 75 feet tall and 50 feet wide. Now, things about this ark. The ark was built for stability, not for movement. That's one thing we need to remember. It was not built for speed at all, just for floating. Now, that ark, if it was a flat-bottom barge, which we believe it was, it wouldn't have any problems with sag like a lot of our modern boats do. So it wouldn't have that problem. What a wonderful design right there. You know, the ark's dimensions were optimal dimensions for seaworthiness and stability. Optimal dimensions, length-to-width ratio 6:1. Those are the best dimensions for floating. And you know, the ark was so well designed, it could handle waves over 90 feet high before roll would even become a factor. Isn't that incredible, the dimensions and design of the ark? One of the most seaworthy vessels ever built. And it was built thousands of years ago. So right there, the dimensions of the ark, the design of the ark, are perfect scientifically. Well, let's talk a little bit more about science in the Bible. Let's talk about stars. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 22, it says this, "As the host of heaven cannot be numbered." In other words, the Bible teaches that there's so many stars out there, they cannot be numbered. Is that true? Well, let's look at this here. You know, the number of stars visible to the human eye, remember we didn't have these big powerful telescopes back then, but the number of stars visible to the human eye is about 3,000 for each celestial hemisphere, about 3,000 for each hemisphere we can look at. Now, modern astronomers estimate the total number of stars to be about 10 to the 25th power. That's 1 followed by 25 zeros. That's like a trillion, trillion, trillions. That is an enormous amount. Now, how big is that? How many stars is that? Well, if you could count 250 stars every minute, day and night, 24 hours a day, 250 stars for every minute, it would take you 76 quadrillion years to count those stars, folks. That's a little bit more than anybody's lifetime. In other words, the stars are too numerous to count. There's no doubt about it. And that's what the Bible taught over 2,000 years ago. So the Bible is relevant to today's modern science, and it was written thousands of years ago. It hasn't had to change. Just a reminder here, when was the last time evolution changed their story? Probably yesterday, maybe even today. They're constantly changing their story. But the Bible has never had to change its story, folks. It's been accurate from the very beginning. Well, let me give you another piece of science here. The Earth itself. You know, many, many years ago, some people, not many, but some people thought the Earth was flat. Some people thought the Earth might be flat. But you know, over 2,000 years ago, the Bible taught the Earth was round. Isn't that incredible? Right out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 40, verse 22, teaches that the Earth was round. That's 2,000 years ago. So the Bible is relevant when it talks about Noah's Ark. It is relevant scientifically when it talks about the stars. And it's relevant when it talks about Earth science. The Earth was round. But when was the last time evolution changed their story? Probably today, maybe yesterday, but they're constantly changing. Why would anybody ever want to believe in something that's constantly changing? You know, we keep getting taught the so-called facts of evolution. And then a year later, those facts have changed. Why would anybody want to believe that? That is beyond any logical scientific explanation. Well, let's go to another area here. Let's go to medical science. Let's talk about medical science. You know, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, provide tremendous insight concerning disease prevention. You know, the instructions recorded in the book of Leviticus are strikingly similar to modern disease prevention techniques. Isn't that incredible? And these things were written thousands of years ago, and they are relevant scientifically today. You know, the Bible talks about waste disposal in the book of Deuteronomy. You see, the Israelites were instructed to bury their waste material away from the camp. Today we have a lot of diseases such as cholera, dysentery, E. coli, and many others that are happening today because people are ignoring these sanitary practices. But yet, thousands of years ago, the Bible taught us about sanitation. The Bible talked about something called isolation in the book of Leviticus. The Israelites took great care before diagnosing a person as having leprosy or some similar condition. In other words, if there was any doubt as to the certainty of a diagnosis, the person was to be isolated for observation. Isn't that incredible? Don't we do that today? If there's a problem of some disease that it might be contagious, don't we isolate those people away from everybody else? You see, the Bible taught that thousands of years ago. And it is relevant scientifically today. See, the Bible's not been outdated, folks. It's people who believe in evolution. That's been outdated. It's been way outdated. You know, the Bible also talks about food and drinking, water safety. Drinking for safety there. If the carcass of an animal, here's what the Bible teaches in the book of Leviticus. If the carcass of an animal was found in drinking water, in other words, a dead animal was found near drinking water, use of the water was forbidden as unclean. If, however, the water source had a this is how exact the Bible is scientifically. If the water source had a continual supply of fresh water, such as a spring, it would remain clean because of the tendency of such water to renew itself. Isn't that incredible, folks? The Bible taught that 2,000 years ago about water safety and drinking water. 2,000 years ago, the Bible was exactly right. The Bible also talked about unlawful lifestyles and disease. Wow, I wish more people read the Bible on this one. You see, the Israelites were clearly forbidden to have any sexual relationships outside of marriage. Right there in the book of Leviticus and the book of Exodus. The biblical plan of husband and wife constituted a unique or exclusive marriage unit. In other words, right there, the Bible taught from the very beginning, folks, even the book of Genesis, that marriage is between one man and one woman. And it also forbade sex outside of marriage. You know, if we would follow that, think of how many sexual diseases would go away today, folks. We could lick AIDS if they would just go by the teachings of the Bible. We wouldn't have to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to prevent this disease, folks. We could help cure this disease if we would just stick to the biblical plan. It's called abstinence, folks. Abstinence. That is the best form right there. And the Bible also says one man and one woman, folks, for marriage. If we would just listen and teach and go by what the biblical sayings have. You know, in our Civil War, back in the 1860s, our Civil War, you know, a lot of people died on the battlefield. That was a horrible war, folks. It was a horrible war. All wars are horrible, I have to say that. But, you know, some wars are needed. Some wars are necessary. But, you know, people weren't only dying on the battlefield. They were dying in hospitals. They were dying in droves in the hospitals if they would have just read the book of Leviticus, folks. You see, here's what was happening in our Civil War. And I used to live in a town called Manassas, Virginia, and they still have some of the old hospital places there. And what was happening there is they didn't understand disease at all. They didn't understand medical sanitation at all back then. See, they would take this scalpel or this knife, and they'd operate on one person. They'd take the same scalpel or knife, operate on the next, and the next, and the next without washing it, and wonder why these people were dying. If they would have just read the Bible and paid attention to the teachings of the Bible and sanitation in the book of Leviticus, we could have saved a lot of lives. You see, the Bible is relevant today scientifically. It is not outdated. What is outdated and what should go away is the teachings of evolution, because it is outdated scientifically, folks. It does not agree with science. You know, in the Bible, it talks about lip covering. Talks about lip covering. You know what today's surgeons do when they go to operate? They put on a mask. You know the Bible taught that thousands of years ago? You know the Bible is the only ancient book that really insists on quarantining contagious diseases? Surgeons preparing for an operation today will scrub their hands for several minutes under running water. You know those same instructions are given in the book of Leviticus? Isn't that incredible? You know, Leviticus chapter 17 states, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." You know, it wasn't until the 1600s that an English physician confirmed blood circulation, once again confirming the Bible. Isn't that good news, folks? The Bible is relevant yesterday, it is relevant today, and it will be relevant tomorrow. Just like God says, He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and His Word will not change, folks. It is accurate in terms of history, archaeology, science, prophecy. It's going to be accurate everywhere, folks. You can trust it. It's the only thing we can really trust is God's Word, and God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if you'd like to add some things onto the Bible and science, give us a call at 800-955-8200. That's 800-955-8200. Or if you just want to call and say hello, give us a call, 800-955-8200. We're talking about science and the Bible. Has modern science outdated the Bible, as some churches are teaching? You know, once they start teaching billions of years, they're really saying the Bible's not relevant anymore scientifically. Isn't that incredible? Our mainline churches teach that. And we'll be right back after the break. And we're back here talking about the Bible and science. Has modern science outdated the Bible? And so far we've seen it's not the Bible that's been outdated, folks. The Bible is accurate scientifically. It's evolutionism that's been outdated, folks. It was outdated the day it was started, back there in the garden there, when Satan says, "Ye shall be as gods." That's been a false statement, but unfortunately we have a lot of churches teaching that today. Hey, do you know what the greatest scientific statement ever made was? Anybody ever thought about that? I like to think about that. The greatest scientific statement ever made. Anybody think of a scientist that's made the greatest scientific statement ever made? Well, don't think about a scientist, folks. The greatest scientific statement ever made starts the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is the greatest scientific statement ever made. Because you know what that is? That is the beginning of space, time, and matter. That is the beginning of everything. That is the greatest scientific statement ever made. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, you notice it doesn't say that in just Genesis 1:1. We also see that similar statement in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So John starts off with, "In the beginning," right there. So it's both the Old and the New Testament, beginning of space, time and matter, the greatest scientific statement ever made. Well, let's talk some more about the Bible and science. Let's talk about archaeology. Now, archaeology is not quite an exact science, but it does show us a lot of information, does help us understand a lot of things that have happened in our past here. You know, in archaeology, you know there's been at least 33 separate tablets, ancient tablets have been discovered that talk about a gigantic flood. Wow, I wonder how many of you people knew that. 33 ancient clay tablets have been discovered that talk about a gigantic flood. And of these 33 tablets, 28 of them mention an ark. 30 of them mention an ark that came to rest on a mountain. 29 of them state that birds were sent out. 30 of them mention that favor was found with the survivors, and 31 of them mention an act of worship as the survivors left the ark. You know, of all those 33 ancient tablets and all the flood stories we have, you know, there's actually today there are over 200 stories of a flood from cultures all over the world. I wonder how many you can count about evolution. You can use your toes and fingers, and you won't need to take your shoes off, and you won't need to use your fingers either, folks. There's zero there. But 33 tablets there, but over 200 legends about a flood. You know, of all of these different legends, a lot of them use different kinds of boats for floating. Only the Bible, get this, only the description of the ark in the Bible is seaworthy. All the others would have rolled over, been washed aside. None of them could have survived a gigantic flood. For instance, the Epic of Gilgamesh, that's probably the most famous flood stories outside the Bible. However, remember the dimensions of the ark, about 450 feet long, 75 by 50 there? That was perfect dimensions for floating, but the description of the boat in the Epic of Gilgamesh was a cube. You know what happens to a cube when you put it in violent water, folks? It just rolls and rolls and rolls, and nobody's going to survive that. Only the Bible gives accurate scientific information. But let's talk about some more archaeology here in the Bible. You know, there's a set of tablets called the Weld Blundell Prism. That was found in 1923 in Lower Mesopotamia. It was actually written about 100 years before Abraham. Now, get what we found in that prism there, those ancient tablets. The record begins with eight kings who ruled before the flood, and those eight kings are mentioned in the Bible. Wow, a perfect match there. At the end of the list of the kings, you know what it says in this ancient tablet? It says that the flood swept over the earth. Wow, just exactly as the Bible teaches. There's some extra evidence outside the Bible confirming the Bible. You know, the record in that Weld Blundell prism also says that the genealogies, it talks about the genealogies, and those genealogies match what we find in Genesis 5 and 11. So there's outside biblical evidence confirming the Bible again. You know, this prism, this ancient tablet, also talks about long lifespans. They're actually inscribed right there in that ancient tablet, that prism, that are comparable to those found in the book of Genesis. You see, the Bible is just not by itself. There's overwhelming evidence that the Bible is true and it is accurate scientifically. Then up through the 1970s, there was a set of tablets called the Ebla tablets, which were found in northern Syria. Up through 1970, the Ebla tablets. These were over 17,000 clay tablets found. 17,000 clay tablets. Documents written on clay tablets dating from around 2400 B.C. That's a long time ago, 2400 B.C. You know, in those tablets, they contained a creation account and a flood account. Creation account and a flood account. And they talked all about the life and the times of the patriarchs. Not one of those tablets contradicted the Bible. But get this, you know, for a long time, critics claimed that words like Canaan were not used at the time of Moses. Here's a word that's mentioned in the Bible there in the time of Moses, Canaan, C-A-N-A-A-N. That's found in your Bible. But critics say, oh, Moses couldn't use that word correctly. It's even though it's found in the Bible, they say it couldn't have been used. Then there's another word called Tehom for the deep, means the deep. It's a Hebrew word for the deep. They said they couldn't have used that word. Moses couldn't have put that down. It had to be written well after Moses. However, Both the land of Canaan and the word Tehom were found in the Ebla tablets, which predated Moses by some 800 years. And here they're saying Moses couldn't have written those words. Those words weren't around when Moses, folks, they were there 800 years before Moses. That Ebla tablets confirmed that. You know, we got a lot of critics of the Bible, folks. But every single time those critics have been shown to be wrong, people are always trying to discredit the Bible, but they're always wrong. That means we should be putting our trust in God's Word. You know, the tablets, the Ebla tablets also mention cities called Sodom and Gomorrah, which were previously thought to be mythical cities. Right there again, we have it. Now, there are many man-made structures in the Bible. Many man-made structures are mentioned in the Bible. Not all of these have been found, but what has been found exactly matches the biblical description. Let me give you a couple here, just to show you how accurate the Bible is. You know, the palace at Jericho, where the king of Moab was assassinated, has been found. That's mentioned in Judges chapter 3, verses 15 through 30. The temple of Baal in Shechem has been found, mentioned in Judges chapter 9. The pool of Gibeon, where the forces of David fought during the struggle for kingship of Israel, that's been found. It's mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 2. The royal palace of Samaria, where the kings of Israel lived, has been found. That was mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 20. The water tunnel beneath Jerusalem, dug by King Hezekiah during their Assyrian siege, has been found. That's mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 20. Jacob's well, where Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, that's been discovered, mentioned in John chapter 4. Herod's palace at Caesarea, where Paul was kept under guard, that's been found, Acts chapter 23. And we could go on and on, folks. There's not been one archaeological find that has ever disputed the Bible. Now, we haven't found some things yet, but everything that's been found exactly agreed with the Bible. You know, for many years, the skeptics will go out there and say, oh, that city of Jericho, that's not a real city. It's just a myth. Even though it's mentioned in the Bible, they still didn't trust the Bible. Just like we have a lot of leaders in the church today that don't trust the Bible because they're trying to put billions of years in the Bible. They're trying to say the Bible teaches the Big Bang. Folks, I guarantee you the word Big Bang is not anywhere in the Bible. It's nowhere in the Bible. So quit adding words to God's Word, folks. And let's get back to trusting the Bible for what it says and standing on it first and not bowing down to science. God is the one and only God. The God of the Bible is the only God, folks. Science should not be placed in favor of God. So these skeptics will go out there. They once thought it was a myth. But you know, the archaeological evidence has confirmed Jericho's a real city. We have found that city, folks. I've been over to Israel, walked in there. The city of Jericho's a real city. But you know what else the archaeologists discovered? Those walls fell exactly as the Bible teaches. Let me give you a quote here from a gentleman by the name of Bryant Wood. Bryant Wood. He's an internationally recognized archaeologist. And this is what he has to state about the city of Jericho. Quote, Jericho was once thought to be a Bible problem, he says, because of the seeming disagreement between archaeology and the Bible. But when the archaeology is correctly interpreted, however, just the opposite is the case. The archaeological evidence supports the historical accuracy of the biblical account in every detail, end quote. The archaeologists have found Jericho, and they have discovered the walls fell exactly as the Bible teaches. The Bible is 100% accurate in every single case. You know, if it's accurate there, folks, that means we have a pretty good God. He is an all-powerful God and an all-knowing God. And let me read you something from the Bible before we go on this next break. Let me give you some background here. This is out of Book of Acts. I want to show you how important it is to understand who God is here, that He's our Creator. You know, in the Book of Acts, chapter 4, the priests and the Sadducees and the elders and the scribes are all very disturbed at Peter and John. They're very disturbed at Peter and John because they were out there preaching about Jesus and the resurrection and healing people in the name of Jesus. They get very disturbed about this. I wonder why they're disturbed, because people are paying attention to them and not to the Sadducees and their sorrowful condition there. But you know what those Sadducees and the elders and the scribes do? They commanded Peter and John not to speak any more about Jesus. In other words, they said, don't do this anymore. In other words, the name of Jesus is forbidden to talk about. Doesn't that sound like today, folks? Doesn't that sound like our public schools, like our court systems, our legal systems? It's been outlawed. The name of Jesus has been outlawed. But here's what Peter and John do. Listen to this. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. And being let go, they, Peter and John, went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had to say to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice. Guess what they did, folks? They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Wow, what a testimony to our Creator God right there, right out of Acts. Forbidden to teach the word of Jesus. You know what they did after that, folks? They went back and talked more about Jesus. We need that kind of boldness in our churches today. We need the boldness to stand on the Word of God and not compromise it. Folks, let's start being like 1 Peter 3:15 Christians. Let's have those ready answers out there. Give us a call if you have a question you want to add to our Science in the Bible show here today. 800-955-8200. 800-955-8200. And what we're seeing is the Bible is always right. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Welcome back to Creation Matters, and we're talking about science and the Bible. And we've seen so far that the Bible is 100% accurate in terms of science. It is relevant today. And we have a number of callers. So before we continue, let's go to our first caller, Mark in Seattle. You have a question or comment?
I just wanted to, first of all, thank you for your show. I used to be a person who very strongly believed in evolution. And when I got out of high school, I just got so mad because I found out how much evidence is totally against the lie of evolution and how it totally undermines people's ability to believe in the Bible, the only thing, the only means by which they can have salvation for their soul. And that's not an accident, of course. But my comment was, I recently read a book, and I won't mention the name unless you say I can, but he basically documents the existence of fossilized chariot wheels at the bottom of the Gulf of Aqaba for no particular reason. Gulf of Aqaba is, of course, the right-hand gulf of the Red Sea. It documents the existence of a mountain in Saudi Arabia called Jabal al-Lawz, which has an obsidian top. It's been melted with extreme heat. It's the whole top of the mountain's black. Just amazing, amazing finds that are reality.
Isn't that amazing, Mark, that two things you've done there is I meet a lot of people that were in your same position there because I was there too. I came out of schools being totally evolutionized and believed it and then found real science. Wouldn't it be just incredible if we could get our teachers back to real science and stop teaching false information?
Oh, boy, you said it. You know, that's absolutely right. You know, I wish that even if they weren't committed to teaching true creationism, at least they would teach things like the Cambrian explosion, which totally kills the idea of neo-Darwinism, the idea of how complex the eye is. I mean, just these things that are just totally destroy neo-Darwinism.
Yes, I love the eye because the evolutionists say a lot of times the eye is a bad design. You know what my comment to that is? If you think it's a bad design, you're saying you can make a better one. Let me see you
right.
Do it. Isn't that crazy?
You know, another thing I wanted to say is that what really blows people away and stops people from arguing with Darwinists is the entire idea of carbon dating. I studied nuclear physics in the Navy, and I've studied it extensively. And folks, if you don't know about carbon dating, get into it, research it, understand how it works, and it is one of their quote unquote unanswerable things that they love to bring up. But if you understand how it works, it is such a joke, so laughable.
That's exactly right, and I have a whole DVD I've done on carbon-14 dating called Dating Fossils and Rocks. You can either get that at the Answers in Genesis website, or you can get it at our website, creationmatters.org. But the answersingenesis.org, who I work for now also, a whole DVD that discusses carbon-14 dating, and it's made for the layperson, but we knew a long time ago it didn't work. Even the founder of carbon-14 dating knew almost that it didn't work. He realized that something was not right. Dr. Willard Libby.
Absolutely. I can't recommend answersingenesis.org strongly enough. It is simply put, the strongest, and I don't work for them. I have no interest financially in them at all, but they are just astounding in their defense of the faith. The hatred and bile that is spewed towards people like Dr. Jonathan Sarfatti is just unbelievable. The hatred of Ken Ham. Now, you don't see that on the other side. I've never heard Ken Ham say even a mildly offensive thing towards anybody. But these people, they attack people on the creationist side like with just the ferocity of a wild dog.
Well, thank you very, very much, Mark. And thank you, and God bless you for the work you're doing there.
God bless you. Thank you.
And you know, one more thing about what Mark said there is the hatred that is against Answers in Genesis. You know, we don't see that hatred against a lot of churches. Why? Because a lot of churches have compromised with the world. But when you don't compromise, the world goes against you, folks. That's when you know you're doing the right thing. Well, let's go to our next caller, Nancy, Seattle. Nancy, are you there for us?
Yes, I am.
You have a question or comment here?
Well, I have a comment. I always love listening to your show.
Well, thank you.
But this particular program really resonates with me because I was married to a paleontologist for 30-some years, and you can imagine how hard the kind of arguments we had.
My goodness.
And he used to say, but what you're talking about just goes against everything I say. I guess you want me to stop doing this. And I said, no, because I think everything that science finds out will come around to proving that the Bible is exactly true, which is what you're saying today.
And it is. It has been doing that for years and years and years now. The more we understand science, the more we see the Bible is 100% accurate.
Exactly. So thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, and God bless you, Nancy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, let's go to our next caller, Jeff from Bellevue. Comment or question? How are you doing today?
Fine, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, thanks for your great program. A lot of us are going to miss you. And
thank you.
Hope God blesses you and your future endeavors. What I have is a question. It's out of Genesis 2 about God making man. Verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." And I know, I guess it's somewhat scientifically proven that we're like 86% water anyway, our body. Now, unless God uses some mud in some of our cases, but that's a joke, of course. But I was wondering, what is your take on just forming us from the dust of the earth and breathe the breath of life? Likewise, in verse 19, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. And have you ever done any teaching on that I'd like to find out somehow?
Well, Jeff, my take on that is we have a God who called into existence out of nothing trillions of stars, all the planets, in everything we see. He actually called it into existence out of nothing. If he can do that, he can create us out of the dust of the ground.
Yeah.
And
okay.
He can walk on water. He can feed the 5,000. He can raise Lazarus from the dead. He can do that.
Okay.
So that's what we mean by that. We have a God where nothing is impossible. Out of Jeremiah 32:17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast created the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for thee."
Too difficult for thee. That's right. I believe it, but you know, it's nice to fill in some of the gaps for the people that don't take it so readily for God's word, you know.
Yep. So, that's exactly right. And you're doing the exact right thing there. You're trying, Jeff, you're trying to be a 1 Peter 3:15 Christian and have those ready answers.
Yeah.
I hope you go into your church and spread that around, that 1 Peter 3:15 attitude there. We need to be studied in what we believe.
That's right, and have an answer for the hope that we have.
That's exact, but gentleness and respect too. We got to remember that part too.
Yeah. And I think praying for them, because they can have the facts and still deny it. But,
that's right.
We need to be in prayer, because I believe too it's a spiritual warfare, as the Bible teaches, and the devil's fighting for our souls, and you know, so we need to have put on a spiritual armor too.
You betcha. Right out of Ephesians, the full armor of God. You know, it's what you hit a key point there, Jeff. It's easy to pray for somebody we like, but we should be praying for the people we don't like also.
Yeah, I'm witnessing to a guy down at the club I go to, and he's just a non-believer, and it's very difficult, because anything you really say to him, you know, especially if it's something out of the Bible, they just, you know, doesn't believe the Bible, so it's been really a challenge. So, so I enjoy listening to your program. Like I said, I'm going to miss it when you move on, but I do still access your website and have some of your teachings as well.
Well, thanks a lot, Jeff, and God bless you.
Thank you, Mike. You too. Bye.
And Don, we'll be right back to you right after the break. Don from Lindwood. And if you want to give us a call, 800-955. Welcome back to our final segment here on the Bible and Science. Is the Bible scientific and accurate? And we said we're going to go to our next caller as soon as we come back. Don from Lindwood, thank you for calling in. How are you doing today?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I got a question about the local and the universal flood. I think I heard it was on Discovery Channel or History Channel several months ago, so some convincing arguments that it would have been impossible to have a universal flood, something about just because of the sheer volume of water that would have had to cover the earth coming from below and above, as the Bible states. What scientific evidence do we have for the universal flood?
Okay, great question. Scientific evidence for the universal flood. Well, first of all, if we were to flatten out this planet, there's enough water to cover it almost 2 miles high. So right there, the Discovery Channel's wrong. There's plenty of water to cover the whole earth by almost up to 2 miles. But
okay.
we know mountains are higher than that today. But we also have very good scientific evidence that the mountains rose rather rapidly. Very good evidence for that.
That the what?
The mountains rose very rapidly. By looking at the fossils and the type of sedimentations we find in the mountains, strong evidence that they were not slow upheavals. They were very rapid. That's exactly what a flood would do. The flood also points out that we look at these fossils. Where did we get all these fossils from? You know, at the turn of the 20th century there, in the early 1900s and late 1800s, actually, there were literally millions of buffalo and bison out there. Where's the record they ever existed? You see, long, slow processes don't create fossils, do they?
Mm-hmm.
It takes catastrophic events to do that. You know, we find fossil graveyards all over this planet, especially dinosaur graveyards, where we find hundreds of dinosaurs buried and mangled together.
Uh-huh.
Local floods don't do big things like that. We also find marine fossils on top of every mountain in the world.
Uh-huh.
Local floods won't do that either. And a local flood does not last for a whole year. The flood lasted for a whole year. We also have many, many other evidences of a worldwide flood. And you can go to the Answers in Genesis website, and you can find out many, many more there. So the evidence for a local flood, you got to remember, Discovery Channel is based on evolution. So they're definitely not going to be promoting the Bible. So they have a strong bias, just like we do, too.
Uh-huh.
So
do we have fossil records of animals like in North America, high up elevation, several thousand feet, 10,000 feet or so?
We actually have down in South America whale fossils high up in the Andes Mountains.
Uh-huh.
They don't have legs to walk up there.
Right.
And we found seashells on top of mountains. They don't have legs to walk up there either.
Yeah.
And we're talking Mount Everest.
Yes.
So the evolution story does not match that at all.
Hmm.
So fossil graveyards, fossils on top of mountains, and then sedimentation. See, there's no need for long ages. There's absolutely no need for long ages there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the holy grail of the evolution. They have to have their long ages, but the long ages doesn't work anymore. It's just not scientific.
Uh-huh.
The radioisotope dating now supports the young Earth. Carbon-14 dating has always supported things weren't very old.
Uh-huh.
And so does that help you out there a little bit?
It really does. And do you have a book on this or information on this, especially about the universal floods and local floods?
Yes. Go to the website called www.answersingenesis.org. That's www.answersingenesis, all one word, answersingenesis.org.
Okay.
You will find thousands of articles out there, all free for download.
Okay.
And hundreds of resources you can purchase out there, too.
Okay, very helpful. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much.
God bless you.
God bless you. Well, let's go to our final caller, Jeff. You got about a minute here from Snohomish. Question and comment.
Well, hi, Mike. This is Jeff. I just have a comment for you. And I hopefully won't embarrass you, but I just wanted to call and say thank you for all the years of ministry you've had in the area, starting in the early 90s. when I became a Christian, you were one of the first people that actually got me to look at things scientifically with my faith.
Well, thank you very much for that, Jeff, and God bless you. And I know you have a very important ministry out there also.
Well, yeah, it's a bit unique, but again, this is about you and your wife and your family, and I just pray you guys go and do your thing. I know you're going to be in a field that you love, and God bless that, and bless you, and just thanks a lot, bud.
Thank you, Jeff, and God bless you and your entire family there.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, folks, we're down to our final few minutes again. Next week, it will be the last week for the show. I will actually be on an airplane to Denver to speak at the State Homeschool Convention, so filling in for me will be Mark Loy from Answers in Genesis. But you want to know, I want to finish with the Bible, and why is it true? Why is the Bible true? You know why it's true, folks? Because we have a God who is a caring creator. You know, no other book speaks of a God who created the universe and everything in it, and yet he says he cares for each and every one of us. What other book talks about a God who created trillions of stars, many which are larger than our sun, and cares for you? You know, in the book of 1 Peter, it says this, 1 Peter, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How much did he care, folks? He paid the ultimate price. He sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on that cross. Because of God's love towards us, a love that surpasses all comprehension, we can be made alive through his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 teaches, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to become good folks. When we were still wallowing in our sins, he died for us. But you know, it also says other things in the book of Lamentations. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassion fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Aren't we glad that God's mercies are new every morning? What a great God we have. That right there is proof enough. There is a creator God, and he loves every one of you folks. And his mercies are new every morning that you wake, just waiting for you. He stands at the door and knocks and just waits for your response, folks. What a great and caring God. I've been your host, Mike Riddle from Creation Matters. This will be the last time I'll be on the show. Next week, Mark Loy from Answers in Genesis. And folks, in case you haven't heard, Answers in Genesis in northern Kentucky, right outside Cincinnati, they are building a $25 million museum. You have to go see this museum. Our house will be, we're building a house right close by there, folks. You can stop by and see us anytime you get a chance. Come see that museum. $25 million museum. And don't forget the website, answersingenesis.org. God bless.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic, or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.